Thank you, Ms. Lindell. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to Genesis. Genesis this morning. First book in the Bible. I have overlooked this, but I want to make sure I mention this morning. As you turn to Genesis chapter 6, the ladies will be joining, if you want to join the ladies Foster's Club, which is a soul-winning time on Saturday morning. There's still time, and a new training session will begin October 5th for you ladies. And you can pick up information sheet located in the front of the foyer that's back there from Miss Brenda Congdon. She'll be happy to give you that. I just want to encourage you to be out soul-winning. If you don't know how to, there are times that we can train you. Our Fishers of Men meet upstairs in our Ladies Foster Club over here at the Christian School. Great times. They're not going to leave you to it to yourself. They're going to send somebody with you and kind of show you what it is to be a witness and to tell other people about Jesus Christ. It's an importance, it's a command of God, and it is really a primary way that we can be fruitful in the Christian life. And so if you don't know how to do that, there are times set up on Saturday you can do that. If you want to go out on Wednesday, we go out with our teens and our college, and we'd be happy to take you out and also train you at that time as well. They leave the building here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you want to go at some other time, call the church office, and the preacher will schedule to go with you. Amen? Or I will schedule somebody to go with you. We want you to be fruitful during this time and as Jesus comes. Genesis chapter 6 is important here. I told Brother Perkins just before I came up, I really considered naming the message, "Don't Be a Fruit Loop." All right, but I didn't do that this morning. This is the title, is "The Wrong Fruit Will Mess Up Your Senses." The wrong fruit will mess up your senses. You know, all the way back, and we talk about fruit, we have to kind of go back to the beginning of everything. And when God created everything that there was, God made a garden and a place to grow things, to supply the needs of the man that he made, and had a purpose long term for that man to bring him glory. He gave the man work, and it was to tend the trees and the fruit, really the fruit, to kind of trim everything up. But in the midst of the garden, in the midst of everything, God, out of all the other things that were good and were there, God said, "Don't mess with this one. Don't eat of this tree. This fruit is not going to do you any good." And I don't understand why, or maybe, and again, you can get the title of Fruit Loop, why we constantly choose the wrong fruit. Man, throughout the ages, God has always provided every good thing, the thing that we need, the thing that will help us, the thing that will take care of us and fulfill that, not just our needs in the flesh, but our spiritual needs God provides. But we consistently decide we want to be fruitful in something that's not fruitful, fruit-bearing for us. You do realize that the fruit, that the stuff that happened, or the seeds that were planted that day in the wrong fruit that Adam and Eve ate that day, we still deal with today. There's a curse on planet Earth that for all of us, in all intents and purposes, go all the way back to the first decision that was made by the first man and woman to eat that which God told them not to eat. Now, I want to be fruitful, but being in a building surrounded by all different kinds of fruit, it kind of makes us, it spoils the fruit in your eyes this morning, thinking about, we wouldn't be in all this mess. Brother Chamberlain talked to you this morning, you know, that we live in a day and age where people sin. And all that sin and the foundation of things that fall down to where we're at and the things that go on, even to the point where when you're hoeing your garden, I don't know how many of you are thinking about your winter garden and things that you're going to have. I'm just going to come down to it. Even in the field, there's consequences because of the first man and the fallen sin. I think about every day that I served as a young teenage boy in the field, plowing and planting and cultivating, and how much sweat, toil, and work it was, because as soon as I could wipe away the weeds that were there, guess what came back? They came back again. And I know from the Bible, I was taught as a child, that's because of a man's decision. Can you imagine what it would have been like to just plant it, let it grow, and it would have taken care of pretty much itself, other need to be trimmed up, not weeded? We live in a day and age, if you leave something to itself, the weeds will take it over. They'll overgrow everything and wipe away what you were trying to build or what you were trying to plant in your life. And folks, if you don't make any mistake, if you want me to go ahead, I will take 2 minutes to go ahead and get political with you. By the way, what God gave us as a nation and political structure was well-founded, well-thought-out, and ordained of God. And what has happened is we went on because we got something good, and sometimes we don't get involved. Or we think that it's just going to tend to itself, but it doesn't. When you vote the wrong people in, the wrong people don't do what they need to do, and the weeds grow up and choke out the plants that need to be growing and the things that need to be going. Amen. For all of us, we need to come to the place where we realize that even in the political realm, this is church. You say, preacher, you're not supposed to be talking about politics. Well, you tell the politicians to quit messing with me. Amen. They come around here, so I'm going to get in their business. By the way, they work for me. I'm a citizen. I get a vote just like you do. When God called me to preach, I didn't lose my vote. I didn't lose my say. Amen. I'm glad everybody's on board with me about that. Amen. Amen. They just were just getting on board. Now, that was 2 minutes, all right? That was, you know, I won't take that. And you didn't even have payment for that piece, all right? But the wrong fruit, the wrong fruit, folks, I'm just going to tell you. In Genesis chapter 3, where we're going to be at this morning, I want you to see here, sin has already happened, but God has already given them, God's given them this idea here in the garden. It's going to display it in detail in chapter 3, what in chapter 2 God tells them to stay away from and all the things that they needed. So you can go back and read it in your own time, and I think you ought to get the entire encompassing of God making man and woman and setting order in their life and saying, you can have every tree here except for this one. And then in chapter 3, the serpent makes his way up. And I feel like we could cherry pick some verses, but we'll start in verse 1 for everybody this morning. And look at it with me. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. You know what that subtle means? It means he didn't plow on top of the ground where everybody could see it. He plows underneath where he's sneaky and hiding and all. All right? Subtle. Than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, if you go back to chapter 2, God didn't tell them they couldn't touch it. In fact, God had told Adam to take care of every tree in the garden. Adam was supposed to tend that one too. He just wasn't allowed to eat it. God knew what it would do to him. By the way, folks, there are things in this world that God is good to us. Do you know that you can eat a lot of different berries? There's all kinds of grapes and things up here. But there's some of them you don't want to eat. They'll kill you. Not all, and they may not even taste bad at the beginning. They look good, but they'll take you out of this world. Folks, I'm just going to tell you know, God knows better than we do what we ought not touch. Right? Well, you know that he even says in his book, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. He's really smart about how teenagers ought to handle their dating relationships. God's good about it. But you know, he didn't say that about this fruit. He said, don't eat it. It wasn't going to kill him. It wasn't any poison on the outside of it because Adam could tend that tree. But here, this is just like some of us get with the Bible. We get upset with God and we add words to his mouth. Things that he didn't say. Things that God didn't put in our lives. You know, God only has your good in his heart and mind. God only wants to take care. God only wants to make sure that you are going to spend eternity with him. God wants your life not only to be a good life, but to bring him glory, as was sung earlier by the family that was up here. For all of us, sometimes we pursue the wrong fruit. Here, this is what's happening. They got all the other trees in the garden, and why are they even talking about fruit? Because he's trying to talk her into eating something God told her not to get after. Now look at what it says here in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. he immediately and directly contradicts what God says. Can I just give you a moment this morning? Because I'm going to preach a little bit about the senses, but I feel like I need to be direct. If you have a friend like a serpent that says to you that what God said would happen in your life if you did something, and they say, that ain't so, don't talk to them no more. You don't need to contradict them or try to teach them right. You need to run away from them. You need to leave the conversation. And listen, by the way, that means you don't need to hang around with your thumbs either. Because most of us, we do all this talking and we hang around in a conversation, and it ain't because we're sitting together in a cafe, it's because we're taking time to text somebody that's giving us bad fruit, bad advice. You know, just like the serpent, I know God said you would die, but you won't really die. Do you know how many people are tricked? You know how many religions in this world try to tell people that God said that, but he didn't really mean that? I know God said it that way, but that ain't exactly how it goes. I know that the Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved, but you know he also meant that you had to do this too. Do you know how many people are tried to duped or stolen away or given the wrong fruit, just like Eve is here, because they stayed too long, listened too long, or had the wrong kind of friend? Folks, anywhere God says this is how it is, that's how it is. Nobody can explain it away. Nobody's going to try to talk you out of it. You ought to be, whatever God said, that's concrete. It's truth in my life. How come we sometimes act like a Fruit Loop and we know what God said, but we're going to try to prove him wrong with our life? We're going to keep going back to the same thing that we know that God said would destroy our lives, but we're like a bad loop of life just going back to the same wrong fruit over and over again. By the way, Adam and Eve probably would have done the same thing that you and I do, looping back to the wrong thing, but God put an angel with a flaming sword in their way and said, you won't go back. Because by the way, this, we don't know just how long Adam and Eve would have lived by eating this fruit, whether it would have preserved their life, because we know that this tree's coming back, right? That in that garden, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, but there's also in that same garden was the tree of life. By the way, they were able to eat of that freely until judgment came. That fruit would have kept them alive forever. Never die. Now all of a sudden, fallen man is restricted from the things that God had freely given before. And he's put out of the garden. Now he's got to plow for himself. Plow for himself and provide for himself where God had already provided. You see, there's consequences when you sin. Folks, I want you to see. He goes on, he says this. He says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes, look at that, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, were their eyes open when they ate the fruit? Now, was he telling the half-truth there? Did they surely die? Did they drop over like it was poison and their fleshly body died that day? No, but spiritual death came upon them. Now, this serpent wasn't so wise that he knew everything, but he knew that it wasn't going to be how they were thinking. And you know, sometimes we think just like Adam and Eve were thinking. Instead of thinking spiritual thoughts, we were thinking fleshly thoughts. You know, if I do this, if I eat of this, if I do this wrong thing, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to fall over dead. No, but you're just going to kill yourself a little bit more than you did yesterday. Hey, how about this? I'm just going to train everybody around me to do the same wrong I'm doing. See, when we take small things and we don't think they're big things, all of a sudden, yes, just like Adam and Eve. Think about this, folks. They didn't just fall over dead. They probably would have preferred that. They had to live another 1,000 years almost in a fallen state. They had to live another 1,000 years on a daily basis thinking about how they did it wrong when they should have done it right. And if you don't think that's a punishment, you got another thing coming. They had to watch their children reap what they sowed. Their son raised up against their other son and killed him. Can you imagine having to live with that on your conscience for the rest of your life? You say, well, what did Adam and Eve do for Cain? Well, they just thrust all of mankind into sin. They just simply were the first set of people to disobey God. Folks, I'm just telling you, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And even though they didn't fall over dead immediately when it happened, that's what the fruit led to. Look at what he says. He goes on. He's trying to convince them. He says, their eyes, he says, your eyes shall be open. Look, he says, then your eyes shall be open. It isn't until after you eat the fruit. Now, he's going through a bunch of things that are going to change their senses. And what I'm preaching on this morning, just desperately want you, this, if Adam and Eve had had the sense to follow God, then all their other senses wouldn't have been changed. You know that, I mean, I'm sure when they opened their eyes and they saw that they were naked, do you think that was a good change in their senses or a bad change? Let me tell you, it was a bad one because immediately they decided to try to cover themselves up. Do you think that hearing the voice of God, they had listened and heard the wrong voice of the serpent, listened to him, and then when God called to them, they went and hid themselves. You know who they should have hid themselves from? The serpent. Hey, folks, I just want you to see this. I want you to get it. He goes through and he says in verse number 6, he says, it's going to open your eyes and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and that in a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, all that happens after that, we know, and we're not going to study the fall of man today, but I want you to see, number one, everything that looks good ain't good for you. Do you know there are a bunch of people that only judge things by their eyes instead of God's word or what he says? And instead of using spiritual sense or godly sense, they look at something and say, it must be good for me. I'm just going to tell you, they get your country in trouble. It'll get your family in trouble. It'll get you in trouble if all you do. God didn't give you just one sense to see. He gave you more than one sense, and he wants you to have spiritual sense and spiritual eyes to look past what just looks good on the surface and look past it and see things in the light of eternity. How about just in the light of a lifetime in your home and in your family and your church and your ministry? Look past yourself and what looks good today to see what is going to be best for God's glory and for your good. You say, preacher, why are you getting so upset? Because I've had to watch too many people make bad decisions and ruin their lives and ruin their family and ruin people in the church that loved them. Because just like Adam and Eve, what looked good to them, they could not have enough sense spiritually to look past it and realize the debacle that it would cause in the life of people. Number two, I want you to see this. They take the fruit and feel of it. Have you ever seen anybody buy anything in the grocery store in the fruit section without handling it? Listen, can I tell you, if there's some in there left, somebody already touched it before you got to it. Most of the fruit you pick up is the best one left because somebody else took the one that was better and left you one they handled and put all their gubby hands on it. I get to the house and I want a piece of fruit and I'll grab it and I'll about just jam it in my mouth and my wife, and that don't happen often, but my wife will go, what are you doing? You got to wash that first. Why? Because somebody's handled it. You don't know where it has been. All the liberals will tell you, all the Fruit Loops, to say it's got pesticides on it. They wax covered it. Listen, I'm not half as worried about what the farmer put on it as all the hand sanitizer that went on it at the store and everything else that they've corrupted it with when they handled it at the store. Folks, why don't we have sense enough? You know, sometimes we'll do the same thing. We'll go, well, all right, I see that it looks good. Let me handle it. There are some things we ought, listen, if God said don't eat it, why are we even going to touch it? Now, she took it that far, and I would just say that Adam probably, he's the one that conveyed what God had told him, I'm sure, to his wife. And he said, listen, honey, God said we ought not eat it, but my rules are you don't even touch it. Don't even touch it, honey. Now, she put that on as God, but I'm just going to tell you, she'd have been better off if she had kept those rules too. It's going to be hard. Now, I have watched people at youth rallies eat something that they're not touching with their hands. But still, they're touching it with their lips. You ever seen anybody try to skirt the rules and do it? Like, I'm not allowed to touch it with my hands. And they go after eating an apple or a donut on a string. They do that on the bus every once in a while. If you've never seen a kid eat a donut on a moving bus hanging from a string from the ceiling, you ain't seen. You really ain't lived. Because if you're a good bus driver like I was, right about when they get their mouth on it, I'll turn the wheel. And that donut will go to swinging, man, and whack them in the face two or three times. And if you got a good gooey chocolate one, it's like circle print on their face. And they're biting at it like a shark. Hey, how many of us, that's how we live the Christian life, because we know we ought not touch it with our hands. But we're going to make an exception. And people are out here trying to bite at something that we ought not even be after. And instead, I mean, and we look like crazy people. And people in the world are going, why don't you just grab it and eat it if you're going to do that? Because we're trying to skirt the rules and do a half-truth or half-right. And people in the world think we're crazy, and people in the church think we're crazy, and we're over there and this donut's just beating us in the head. Because we looked at it, and we didn't want to touch it. We just wanted to consume it. Now, that's one of the things about humans, we consume it upon our own what? Lust. I know I'm not supposed to touch it, but I do want to consume it. So let me skirt the rules and do it my own way. And then when somebody asks, I didn't touch it. That's like the preacher, right? That's like the preacher when he had to tell the story on, what was it, that president, Pastor Carter, used to really get on. What's the one he smoked it, but he didn't inhale it. How does that work? Does anybody believe that? No. Okay? You'd have to be a Fruit Loop to believe that. Yeah. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, it feels good. I think it's okay. How about if it sounds good? Do you know that all of this led by the seeing it and all that? They were talked into this. Eve was deceived. Do you know Adam went along with this and he didn't even get talked into it? And we can make a joke here where he was a man that knew better than to question his wife anything that was put on the plate in front of him. Because he immediately blamed it on his wife. He said, God, the woman you gave me. I mean, he immediately threw it on her. God, this woman you gave me, put it on the plate and I just ate it. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, Adam knew better. Eve was the one that was talked into it. How many of us, listen, how many of us, there are some of us that flat out know better, and we just like Adam do it anyway, and there's other folks in here that'll listen to the wrong person, and we get deceived and talked into it. But either way, it sounded good to me. I've said this often, and I just want to make sure everybody understands. I really believe that Adam's choice was not one of trying to eat this fruit, but he knew. He was a man, and he calculated exactly his choice. And he looked at his wife, and he loved her. And he knew that God said she would surely die. And I think it proves and shows you the love that Adam had for his wife, in the sense he stood there looking at the fruit, seeing that his wife has eaten the fruit. And he realizes that his choice is not the fruit at this point, but do I choose to spend whatever days I have with God, or do I choose my wife? Because God said I'll surely die. And I don't know what this is going to mean or where I'm going to go, but that day, listen, I'm going to tell you, Adam made an idol out of his wife. And he chose to be with her and to do whatever she thought was right over God. And he made a choice to be with her or to be wherever she was, not giving God the benefit of the doubt that God was the great redeemer, not giving God the benefit of the doubt that he was the great just, he was just, and that he would do right. Instead of just saying God is God and he took care of this and he's right. And I've heard preachers make jokes of he couldn't afford another rib to be taken. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, God is righteous and sovereign in the affairs of men. But for all of us, listen, there's been a lot of times we choose people over God. And by the way, the only other person that he had to choose was, there was only one other person, and it came out of him, and it was his wife. And given a 50-50 shot at where the human race was going to go, Adam chose wrong. Chose his wife. Ate the fruit. Both of them thrust, the whole human race thrust into sin. Because it sounded good. He decided to do that. And then I'm going to couple two together this morning for time's sake, smell and taste. I'm just going to tell you that most of us are absolutely vain. And sin, by the way, is fun for a season. I'll just put it this way. One preacher said, sin is sugar-coated. It don't taste like medicine, if that's the way you want it put. Amen? But along with the sugar, you get all the calories. You get all the things that come with sin. And I guarantee you, the day that they took that piece of fruit and they smelled it after they cut it, it didn't smell bad. I bet it was probably one of the best pieces of fruit smelling that they had ever had. When they bit it and they tasted it, I guarantee you, it tasted good. They did not want to spit it out. Because I can tell you who I am as a natural man. That which does not smell good doesn't pass the taste test, because it's not going in my taster if it don't smell right. And if it goes in the taste machine and it don't taste right, I sure don't swallow it. It comes back out. Hey, can you imagine being in the garden that day and everything, because it looked good, it sounded good. I mean, I think about this. It felt good to them. It tasted good and it smelled good. Everything was good until after it hit bottom. And when it hit bottom, all of a sudden their eyes were opened. Now, let me put it to you in this way. This is physical, all on the physical side. When they began to process what they had done, physically, their body began to process it. The thing that looked good opened their eyes and they realized they were naked. They realized they had sinned. What they only, listen, think about what they felt. They had never felt anything but faith in the Creator who made them. Now they had fear of the one who had made them. The same God who loved them, that, I mean, listen, had told them, everything's good. I made everything you need. Everything they had ever heard had sounded good up to this point. Now what they hear from that is not, I made this garden for you. I want you to walk with me on a daily basis. Now God begins to say, why did you do that? Now I'm going to have to put you out of this garden. Now I'm going to have to curse the ground for your sake. Women, he multitude of sorrow and pain in childbirth. We have no idea, and until we get to heaven, what childbirth would really have been for women. What kind of joy and excitement would have come for that until we get to heaven. But somehow God cursed the woman and listen, we don't know. Maybe man would not have multiplied on the earth the same way. Maybe 1,000 years, you would have still only had about 4 kids or something over 1,000 years in the way God said it. But if he multiplied it, listen, by the time we get to the flood, we're talking 7.6 billion people on the planet. Because the again, you have 1,000 years and you got 450 years to multiply, you have a lot of babies. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we don't always do the math and think about it God's way, but think about the immediate and that early section of people who lived that lifetime and how many children they would have had. Think about how many children. Listen, I know what it was like raising mine. Can you imagine generationally raising children for 400 to 500 years in your home? Okay? God has been gracious to us. He will not always strive with his creation. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we live in a day and age, we don't often think about what happened and the consequences and what sounded good now sounds so bad. Can you imagine what they had to eat? Everything they had in the garden was something God planted and made, and now what they eat outside the garden is all kinds of things that is being constantly, the ground isn't as good, it's cursed. There's weeds and thistles, and sometimes it's not the best fruit that's produced, it's what we got. And the smell and taste. Can you imagine? I mean, if the people that left Egypt were thinking, man, couldn't we get back them leeks and the things that were there? What do you think Adam and Eve were thinking about all the stuff that they used to have when they were back in the garden? Can I tell you about some folks that happened, listen, that had good, fruitful life and they were inside the church? And you know, you may not think about this place of being the Garden of Eden, but this is recreated, the second Adam. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 5. The second Adam came from heaven, and whether you think it or not, just like he made for the first Adam a place for you to be sheltered and to get good fruit and to be taken care of, God made his church the same way. The second Adam came to redeem man back into himself, and he gave us a place that we could come and eat on spiritual meat and spiritual food and be blessed by spiritual things. And God loved his people and did that for them. And all of a sudden, we don't think about that. We don't think about the church being that way. We don't think about all that God did there. And then Jesus came, and look at what he says in Romans chapter 5. And let's pick it up in verse number 8 for time's sake. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now he's going to get into the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus, by whom we have now received the atonement, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all men, all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, look at this. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Moses, he says, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many may be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many, and not as it was by one that sinned, so it is the gift. For the judgment was by one to the condemnation, but the free gift is to many offenses unto justification. Now, I don't have time to preach everything in this verse, but really it just lays this foundation that for all of us, we can trace ourselves all the way back to Adam. We realize that he sinned in the garden and death passed upon all men. We still live with the curse and the problems of today, but God in his son, Jesus Christ, said, listen, if one man could get us into this much of a mess, then one God-man could get us out of it. And as that first Adam gifted to us a gift that none of us wanted, he gave us sin. He gave us a sin nature. He gave us a corrupt earth because of one act that he committed. then the God-man Jesus Christ could come and through one act, through one laying down of his life and rising again, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he could give us a gift. And that singular gift could be, instead of the death that we receive from the act that Adam did, we could receive eternal life from Jesus Christ. And that gift is freely given to all men, and we just have to choose it for ourselves. You see, what happened was, is all of us before we were born, Adam plunged us into sin. We were born. We didn't get to choose it, but our birth made us a sinner. Our blood made us a sinner. Who we are made us a sinner. But by the way, it didn't take you long to be a sinner on your own. For you to tell your own lie. For you to commit your own sin. But Jesus came to redeem sin. Redeem man from his sin. To give us a home in heaven. That same Jesus, he offers the free gift to anybody that would take it. You see, every one of us, you say, well, why do I have to claim it? Why do I have to reach out and get it? If this happened to me, why do I have to reach out and claim it? Because, folks, you were born into Adam's family. You have to reach out to be born again into a new family. You have to reach out and accept the offer of adoption. We don't often think about it that way, but God has extended and said, listen, your family, it is bound for the pit of hell. But I made a way for you to be in my family. We've paid every one of your debts in your family. If you listen, and you can bring anybody from your family that'll come. You can bring anybody from your family that'll call upon the name of the Lord. I know Adam got you in this mess, but I came as the second Adam, Jesus says, to buy you back out of this mess and let you join a family. Listen, can I just tell you today, I have no fear but only faith that my Adam and Jesus Christ, he will never plunge me into sin. He will never take me down this road. I will be able to enter to an eternal family who will never go down this path again, who will never be confused, and we will live in a glorified state with him forever. Listen today, talk about fruit, the wrong choice, the wrong fruit. Every one of us have a choice. We could stay in the fruit that Adam put us in, or we can choose the fruit of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Not in works, but his works. I could never be good enough or keep what he did. But he did that all for me. And if I would just simply reach out and put and say, I want the gift, the free gift of eternal life, and then take that. Listen, that changes your destiny. I'm so glad that I know that I'm a part of his church. He didn't just build a place for me in heaven. He built a place for me here. He gave and set order in my life and gave me a place that protects me and feeds me and takes care of me. Really, the Bible even uses moves from a garden to more of shepherd and sheep. He leads me and guides me. He keeps me until he comes back for me. Folks, I'm just going to tell you today that we have a wonderful, wonderful heritage in Jesus Christ. We can look back and realize that as men, our great-great-granddaddy Adam messed it all up. But God was there. And even though God set a lot of curses on him, you know what God did for him? He killed an animal in a picture of what he would do to his son. He took and made coverings for them. He made promises to them that Jesus came and fulfilled. If we were to have read down to Genesis 3:15, we would have read of the very first prophecy of Jesus coming and dying for our sins. Jesus came and fulfilled that promise that God made to Adam and Eve, and you and I can enter in and own that promise today, because it wasn't just for them, it was for everyone who would be a part of their family. Today, you may have been choosing the wrong fruit throughout your life, but you just like the rest of your family, right? Adam and Eve. And the extension that God gives to you today is to choose to be in his family. choose to take different fruit, the fruit of righteousness that Jesus Christ lived and owned and purchased for you, that you might be able to be forever with him for eternity. You say, is that heaven, preacher? Yeah, but it's so much more than that. It's really being in his presence for eternity. It's really so much more than that. It's being in a brand new godly family through Jesus Christ. Today, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the message has been preached, and we're going to invite you to receive Jesus Christ, receive the gift that he gave you. Because all of us are in the same boat today. We're all of Adam's race. We're all humans. And humans are in sin and on their way to hell. And the only thing that can stop that is a choice to accept the second Adam, Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in anyone else because there's only been two Adams. The first one and Jesus Christ. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. And if you've never called upon him, if you've never put your faith and trust in him, then today I beg you to do that. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, as we get ready to have the invitation, if you're here and you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? You say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved. Is there anybody like that this morning? Anybody like that? I don't see a hand. Maybe you're here and you say, preacher, boy, the message helped me today. Sometimes I never saw it in that light. I didn't see sometimes my own actions that way. Pray for me, preacher. I needed that message. Would you slip your hand up? Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being honest with me this morning. Would you stand to your feet? If you're here this morning and God spoke to your heart, you need to do business with him. Would you step out and come? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to make my way to the front. I'm going to pray for you. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you need to be saved. I want to pray for you. Dear Lord, I thank you for those that have come today to church, and maybe there is one, Lord, that couldn't raise their hand, but Lord, they would step out and meet me here in the front. They'd walk the aisle and receive Jesus as Savior. Lord, I pray that they would. I beg you for God's people, Lord, that maybe needed the message and encouragement to follow you since they've been saved. Lord, I beg you to work on us. Help us, Lord. Help us to have a right sense of what we ought to be and fruitfulness to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know that heaven would be your home for a Bible reason, you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, I'm speaking to you this morning. We want you to be saved. We do not want you to leave the building without the knowledge that you have received the free gift of salvation because of what Jesus has done for you on Calvary. We don't want you to leave here because we realize that every person who does not call upon the name of the Lord will go to a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, and that place is called hell. I do not want to scare you this morning. I just want you to see that it's important. It's eternal. The decision that we preached and we ask you to make this morning is not necessarily for our good anymore. It's for your good and God's glory. And we want you this morning to do what many of us that are here with our heads bowed and praying for you have already done. Folks, when I was 15 years old, I was burdened and needed and knew that I needed Jesus as my Savior. And I called upon his name just like you need to this morning. So we ask you to do that. If you're here this morning and you need to move your membership, you need to come by baptism, you can do business with God as well. But if you need to be saved, as Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come this morning?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
And I pray this morning, if you are not saved and you know you need to be, right after the service, I'll be back near the back, and we'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I know sometimes it's hard to make your way down the aisle, but please don't leave without going to somebody. A lot of these people that are here, they know how to be saved, and they can tell you how, or they can find somebody to help you. Please don't leave without the knowledge and the hope in your heart that heaven will be your home. For a Bible reason, we don't want you to do that. Be back tonight for those teenagers. Amen. And do this for me. If you're going to go out of here, invite somebody with you and take an invite card. That's why we made them, so that you could take the invite cards and give them to someone else and give them an invite. All right, I see it. I wasn't sure if everyone processed it. I want to make sure. We do have something to share with you this morning. Crystal Davis has come and wanted to join our church. She's been saved and by statement of faith, and she wants to join. And this is Brother Tyler Revel's mom. Amen. And she's been with us for some time here, and she's coming to join. How many people will welcome her in with a right hand of fellowship and so carried? Amen. We're going to close in prayer, but you come by and shake hands with her and welcome her into our church. And if you're here and you need to be saved, I'll be at the back door. I'd love to take the Bible and show you that. Brother Perkins, come and close us in prayer. Make sure you come back tonight for those teenagers.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the message that we've heard this morning. Father, we ask, Lord, if there be anybody here that's lost, that they leave not this building, Lord, without coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we dismiss, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.